Welcome to the Face Podcast. This week's episode, Faking the Proof, How the Face Built a Global Digital Illusion by Manually Forging 51 GPS Locations and Metadata. Here are your hosts, Evelyn Facey and Darius Ansicht.
Today we're getting into something pretty fascinating. This project called The Face.
Right.
And specifically, its mission, which sounds completely contradictory, become a universally recognizable icon, which means nothing.
Yeah, it's a big conceptual knot to untangle. The creator wanted it seen by everyone, basically all over here and there.
Which immediately makes you wonder, okay, how do you prove that? Especially now when faking stuff online is so easy, how do you show it's truly everywhere?
Exactly. And that's where we focus today. We're diving into the project's MAP page. This is their evidence, their attempt to document this global reach.
So we're looking at how they tried to bridge that gap between an AI-generated image and, well, real-world proof using location data.
Precisely. It's like we're dissecting the blueprint for a digital illusion. The big question for you listening is this. If the picture itself isn't real, how hard is it to fake the digital proof of a whole global tour?
Especially when the source itself kind of winks and says it may or may not have actually happened.
Right. We're tracing how they made something potentially fictional look completely real, digitally speaking.
Okay, let's start with just the scale they're claiming. The MAP page, it says the face has been seen in 51 places.
51. That's not a small number. It's a deliberate statement, you know, claiming serious ground.
It really is. 51 unique spots, all logged and mapped out.
And the source mentions how they pulled this off. It says the map came together through the combined strengths of three different platforms.
Okay, three platforms. That straightaway tells you this wasn't just someone messing around in Photoshop, right?
Definitely not. It suggests a process, like a production line for creating these appearances. There's technology involved, multiple steps.
So if we think about what you'd need, you'd need to create the image itself, place it convincingly, and then somehow verify it was there. Do those three platforms map onto that?
That seems highly likely, doesn't it? Platform one is probably the AI generating the face they mention, using things like Sora or Gemini elsewhere in the project.
Right, for the visuals.
Platform two would be for blending that AI image into real photos, making it look like it belongs there, you know, matching lighting, perspective, all that.
Sophisticated stuff.
Very. And then platform three. Well, that's the crucial one for our discussion today. That's likely the tool they use to handle the location data, the proof.
And this structured approach helps explain the sheer ambition of hitting 51 places. They weren't just dropping pins randomly.
No, they picked locations to make a point, to really hammer home that all over, here and there idea. The source lists some pretty diverse examples.
Yeah, like Moscow, New York City, Bangkok.
And Antarctica.
Antarctica. Okay, that one really stands out. Why Antarctica? It's not exactly easy to get pictures from there.
I think that's precisely the point. It's a strategic choice. Maximizing the story they're telling. If the face can credibly appear in such a remote, specific, and frankly difficult to photograph environment,
right,
then it feels like it could appear anywhere. It pushes the boundary. Exactly. It forces you to rely more on the visual itself, to trust that the AI blending is good enough to handle, you know, snow, weird lighting, the unique look of the place.
Because most people haven't been there to compare it directly.
Right. It elevates the whole thing. It's not just pasting an image. It's presented and a documented exploration, even to the ends of the earth.
So visually, they're creating this series of appearances by blending AI with real-world photos. Let's dig into that blending a bit more.
Okay, so blending here means more than just cutting and pasting. The AI isn't just dropping the image in, it's integrating it. It looks at the real photo.
The background, basically.
Yeah, the street scene in New York or whatever.
Yeah.
And it analyzes the light, the shadows, the textures, the angle. Then it adjusts the face image so it fits seamlessly into that scene.
So it looks like the light is actually hitting it correctly, casting the right shadows.
Precisely. It looks embedded, like it was genuinely there when the photo was taken. That's the first layer making it visually convincing.
And we know from the wider project, they were using powerful AI for visual stuff, so they had the tools to make these blended images look, well, pretty flawless.
Absolutely. They solved the problem of, can we make a perfect picture of something fake in a real place? The answer is clearly yes.
But okay, a good fake picture only fools our eyes, right? What about fooling the machines, the algorithms, the systems that check for authenticity.
And that's the pivot. That's where this gets really interesting. To create a believable digital history, you need more than just a pretty picture. You need the data that says this picture is real and it was taken here at this time.
The metadata.
Exactly. And this is where they move from just visual trickery to actually manipulating the verification data itself.
Which brings us to the absolute core finding here, the sentence that really unlocks this. Each map location was tagged with GPS data and metadata that were almost entirely manually generated.
Almost entirely manually generated. Let's unpack that because it's huge. Metadata, sometimes called EXIF data, is like the hidden information attached to a digital photo file.
Your phone or camera adds it automatically, right?
Usually, yes. It records the time, the date, the camera settings, and crucially for this, the GPS coordinates. It pulls your location from the device.
So that data acts as the digital proof, the stamp of authenticity saying, yes, this phone was physically here when this picture was snapped.
It's the trust signal. For us, but maybe more importantly, for computer systems trying to verify content.
So when they say manually generated, they're admitting they faked that stamp.
Pretty much, yeah. They didn't just create a fake image. They created fake proof for that image. They bypassed the automatic system and just typed in the data they wanted.
So instead of the photo file showing the GPS data from, say, their office where they actually made the image,
they went into the file's data structure and manually typed in the latitude and longitude for Red Square in Moscow or Times Square or wherever.
And presumably faked the timestamp too to match.
You'd have to assume so to make it convincing. They used that third platform, likely some kind of metadata editor, to build a completely fabricated digital backstory for each of those 51 images.
Wow. So it's not just visual fakery, it's data forgery. Creating a fake digital provenance.
That's a perfect way to put it. They constructed the entire digital scaffolding that normally proves authenticity.
So what does this really mean for you, the listener, trying to figure out what's real online? The big takeaway seems to be the creation of this fake travel history, this digital past.
Yeah, they manufactured the proof. They built the metadata records for 51 appearances that, as they admit, might never have happened, but they look digitally verified.
The outcome is this collection of images that seem totally authentic, right down to the code level.
Think about the ambition again. Universal recognition achieved through universally authenticated fabrication. It's quite something.
The whole success, the global map, rests on data they openly say they just made up.
It's a fascinating tension, isn't it?
So, to recap for everyone listening, we saw how this goal of being everywhere led to the MAP page. That map relied on three platforms, one making the AI image, one blending it realistically.
And the critical third one, used for manually writing the GPS and metadata, faking the proof.
And that manual generation part is the key insight, really. It demonstrates just how maybe worryingly easy it could be to create what looks like a verified global presence.
It shows the barrier isn't necessarily technological sophistication for the proof part. It's just the willingness to manually edit that hidden data.
Which really makes you think.
It definitely does. It leaves you with a pretty sharp question. If the metadata, the very thing designed to prove a photo's origin, can be almost entirely manually generated, just typed in.
Then how much trust can we actually place in geographical data attached to any digital image we see?
Exactly. What really stands out to you about how simple it seems to construct an entire digitally proven global history from scratch?